Serial Entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome again to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast brought to you by Startups Magazine. I am your host and the editor, Anna Flockett, and today I'm going to be speaking with Micah Hollingworth, founder and CEO of Broadway AI, about how Broadway is coping in the current climate, and we will be discussing the realities behind the current state of Broadway with the lights out, and how Micah has evolved the platform with the current situation, and finally, how and what audiences are reacting to this unprecedented situation, along with what recovery may look like. Micah, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure. I thought to start with, maybe you could tell the listeners just a little bit more about Broadway AI and what you guys do and where the idea came from.
Sure. So we met our sister company, SaaSpy Labs, a little over 2 years ago. And they came in and showed us a tool for customer engagement, customer service for venues. And while it was compelling for us, Broadway houses are typically much smaller than a sports or a music arena. At 1,500 to 2,000 seats, you can pretty much always see a staff member, if not see a direct exit, right, in terms of line of sight. But as we were talking to them and we learned more about how they structured the technology and how it worked, we had that light bulb moment of, well, what if we use the technology to also sell tickets to the event? In simplest description, kind of replicating that experience of purchasing tickets at a box office window, but now digitally anywhere. And the value in that, of course, is you're expanding your sales platform or your sales potential, but even more importantly, you're getting a record of each and every conversation. And that's just a wealth of data for our clients to go through and see how they can optimize not just sales, but also the experience for the user.
Oh, amazing. And how long ago was it that you kind of started Broadway AI and it was officially founded?
We launched in June of 18, which in the current environment feels like a lifetime ago, but it's actually relatively pretty. It's still pretty early.
Yeah, definitely. And how has the two-year journey from then to now kind of been for you?
I imagine like any startup, it's been very up and down, sometimes in the same day. But overall, the adoption and use of this technology has been very positive. And for our client base, we're now starting to reap the rewards of that data in terms of being able to provide them better insights into what their fans are looking for, what type of experiences they could provide, and how they could optimize sales. So far, so good.
Perfect. Could you talk me through how the platform works and kind of how the technology that you use works?
Right. So often when we talk about with new clients or prospective clients, they focus on the questions that are going to be asked. And we actually come at it the other way, where we're building an answer engine. So we're looking at all of their available information about their venue, about their tickets, about whatever it is that they want to surface for their fan base. And we structure that data so then you can plug it into a chat or a voice format so that you can ask queries and get that information back. It all starts with structuring that data and making it AI ready.
Oh, cool. And obviously being in the kind of AI space, how has the technology kind of progressed over the past few years? Because it has been, say, the last 10 years or so that AI has really kind of come on, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, for us, it's really about learning getting very, very specific with customer intent. If someone is coming in asking questions for tickets, they're giving you a lot of information as they're searching that if you can really drill down on the intents and sort through that data on a macro level, there's a lot of actionable opportunities there for that, for the immediate client base, but then also for when you go out and you're marketing to new prospective clients or new fans.
Yeah, completely. So how have you guys kind of grown in the last like 2 years? How many do you currently have on your team?
So our team's actually pretty small. It's just myself and my co-founder for the moment, and we're operating it together. The technology partner, our sister company, SaaSpy Labs, has grown from a dozen when we first started working with them to now they're approaching 30. Fortunately, through this COVID crisis, while there's been reductions and there's been a lot of cost savings, they've been able to keep everybody on staff. So we're still working away. We're still trying to build in and bake more improvements into the tech.
Amazing. And what kind of challenges have you faced along your way of your kind of two-year journey so far?
Oh, it's software, right? So the problems are endless. I learned very early on that you're never done. even when you release a product or you release a new iteration of the technology itself, you're immediately then looking to the next round or level of improvements, or your engagements, the fans coming in actually immediately point out holes in either the knowledge base or how the tech is set up, or the data is pointing you in a different direction. So the need for tinkering, for improvements, for future builds on top of is endless.
Of course. And you've touched on this obviously a little bit, but I know that you guys at Broadway have been reacting to the current climate. Obviously it must have disrupted the industry quite a bit. And I believe that you've kind of brought out a new feature called Notify. Can you tell me a little bit more about this?
Sure. So for us, Broadway shut down on Friday, the March 13th. So in the 2 weeks building up to that, we saw, combined with Satisfy and their music and sports clients that they have on that side of the business, we had over 10,000 inquiries from fans asking anything around COVID, anything from cancellations or postponement or exchangement policies to how are you keeping me safe or how are you cleaning the venue. Immediately seeing those queries come in, it was not hard for us to see what was going to happen. So we immediately started to work with our client base to provide them with a quick and seamless tool within the chat that allows them to update responses so that they can be very, very nimble. And as information changes, they can quickly surface that information within the chat. Because at this stage, I mean, for us, for our chat and voice clients, the majority of the information they're looking for, they could likely find if they spent a little bit of time on the website. But in today's world, I just would like an immediate answer to my query and then potentially a follow-up question or two as a result of what you're giving me. So being able to have that information readily available and surfaceable to the fans was the utmost importance. Once we had that foundation, then it became, going back to the intense comment from before, people are coming, they're engaging with us, asking questions, and they're demonstrating, are they just looking for a straight up refund? Then we should be able to get them the information here. Are they asking about exchange? Then let's see if we can get them to register for providing us an email or cell phone number for schedule updates or changes. All those kind of things. It will allow our partners, when we get to the other side of this and we're attempting to restart, to not just send out, you know, kind of a blanket email marketing campaign to anybody who is registered on its list, right? In this case, be like, well, I know these folks were looking to exchange tickets into future dates. I'm going to approach them differently than these people over here that were asking me other questions, right? So that you can start to personalize and better target or better respond to what you're fans are looking for.
Yeah. And in kind of terms of general Broadway situations right now, have a lot of the shows and performances and gigs and stuff had to be cancelled rather than kind of postponing, or are people looking to kind of do whatever they can right now? Is it unsure right now?
No, for Broadway, it was pretty black and white. I guess you could say fortunate in that way, although not really. But when the first cancellation notice came through on the 13th, we canceled for 30 days and those performances were gone. They're just canceled, and did provide opportunities for fans to, if they didn't want a refund, to exchange into a future date. But if they didn't do anything, right, if they just failed to respond or just let the timer run out, if you will, they automatically received a refund. Now we're in this process, as I'm sure you're experiencing there in the UK, where it's this rolling kind of cancellation or postponement calendar now, where it seems to be that we're, at least in the New York area, looking at 30-day windows and making determinations at set periods about, okay, are we going to be able to do it in the next month? Will we do it in the next month? I think most are looking towards and sometime early 2021 as a potential restart. But for Broadway, right, in particular, will be one of the last ones that will be lit or be turned back on, right? Because we're very confined public spaces. Kind of scattered seating plans or plots doesn't really work, because even the entrance, you know, the egress into the theaters themselves, it's so tight. On the flip side of that, though, I would say, you know, as a New Yorker, if I'm back to work in the fall and I'm taking the subway every day, then I don't know if I'm going to be as concerned about sitting down in a Broadway theater because I'm in the subway every day. Right. Once I'm in mass transit, then whatever protections I can take are the protections I can take. So there's so many unknowns. There's a lot of speculation. And what we try to do is just make sure that the communications to the fans are clear. We know you really want to come back. here's what you can just sign up here. You don't even have to do anything again. We will keep you posted from here on out, right? That just make the fans feel supported and make the process easy so that you have the greatest likelihood that they're going to come back.
And does the technology within your platform make this process easier for you guys?
It does, yes. And it's all about going back to the earlier comment in terms of how fans are just looking for immediate information while they're also looking for immediate purchase potential or ease of purchase, right? So if I'm in Amazon and I'm in Alexa, then I need to have an integration with Amazon Pay to make that seamless. If I'm with Apple and Apple Business Chat, then I need to have an integration with Apple Pay. Like essentially, we're moving towards that digitization of payment where it's that one click or that in an Apple world, you know, the quick Face ID scan on your phone and the payment's done. That's just going to be the expectation from fans for everything.
Yeah, of course. So have you guys been like really busy the past month or so dealing with all these repercussions and contact the customer and having to sort out the different exchange rather than refund and stuff?
Yeah, it comes in waves as you would expect. And the real focus or the real hard work that's being done by my partner and the Satisfy team is, even though that entire team's remote, it's about keeping that team connected, keeping that team working and focused on the goal of all of these various improvements and additions that we're adding to tech so that when we come to the other side of this, you've banked all this technology, you've banked all this good work that you can roll out and immediately have client base start to use, because they're certainly reliant on the technology as it works right now, which is great, but we want to best position on the other side to maximize the opportunity, because it does appear there's going to be a ton of just pent up demand based on the behavior and activity we're seeing.
Of course. So how's the industry really been affected? Do you think it's going to be a massive blow to Broadway? And then when it starts back up, will people go mad for it? And once it is safe for them, like you said, when you are officially able to completely open again, will there be like a massive influx? Do you think people will really miss it and the industry will explode again?
I think it's still very much up in the air. Broadway is very, very resilient. It returned and flourished after the attacks of 9/11. Yeah. It flourished and returned after the economic downturn of 2008. So I don't have any doubt that that's going to happen. But given the significance of the circumstances, Broadway has never been shuttered for this period of time ever. And based on its archaic kind of commercial makeup, meaning you've over 15 union contracts, you have these really complicated and theater license agreements, and everything is built on a two-week financial settlement model where it's, you know, you play this week and that week's now closed and you settle up. If we truly have another 6 months of stark time, then when we do return, there will certainly be a significant number of shows that just won't reopen. And what happens during that 6 months in terms of the overall business model and whether or not there's any accommodations or changes made to the business model, it's to be seen. We'll see.
Hopefully it will pick up, but obviously I like your realist view.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't have to change in order for it to return. But failure to change will likely make it a longer path to recovery.
Of course. So you guys kind of being busy and flourishes, like you said, it comes and goes and there's like little waves. How would you describe the last, well, I say a few weeks, but it's been like nearly a couple of months now, hasn't it? Since you kind of went into lockdown, how would you describe the journey for Broadway AI?
It's been uncharted territory, from relocating and completely working with remote teams to trying to anticipate circumstances, which now at this time just proved to be, it's almost impossible to. It's been a challenge, but the feedback we've gotten back from our clients is they feel supported and taken care of. And so that's what's important.
Definitely. And how have you guys, I know you said there's kind of only two of you, the co-founders, but then obviously with your sister company, how's everyone coped with remote working? Did you do much of it before? Was it quite a big change for you guys?
We did have a company policy in place where there was one or maybe 2 days a month where it would be remote working. Typically, as you would imagine, like on a Friday, something like that, to give people a little bit more space and hopefully a little bit more bandwidth or brain space to be able to think through more complex stuff rather than in an office setting where, despite everybody's best efforts, you often get interrupted just because that's the day-to-day pace of work. It is a challenge. The longer it goes, in many regards, the harder it gets, right? Because you have this distance. It's more than just work. You're looking for like real human connection, finding ways to remain in touch, finding ways to remain social, to support each other is important. If you can combine those things with staying on the blueprint and executing the work, you complete that project, you feel really good about it, but now you want to share in that reward or that moment with the team. And yet, you know, there are hundreds, thousands of miles scattered all over the place. So it's a challenge for sure.
Definitely. And Broadway AI, did you guys have any kind of plans for the future that were massively kind of interrupted by coronavirus? And if not, what kind of are your plans for the future, both short and long term?
So we didn't have nothing that was disrupted, but I would say it was rather than disrupted, it was put on pause, right? So we launched a voice skill for Phantom of the Opera, which because it's on Alexa, has an Amazon Pay integration. So we were in the midst of working our relationship with Amazon advertising along with the Amazon Pay team, where for our client base, if I'm accepting Amazon Pay as a method of payment, if I'm spending a bunch of money doing search engine advertising, maybe I should devote some of that money to spend it with Amazon's product and with their team, because now I'm advertising to Prime members who have an Amazon Pay account saying, here's a really super easy way to purchase your tickets. So that's not gone, but it's on hold until we have performances, right? So there's a half dozen different projects like that that we continue to work on and have prioritized. And the goal being that working backwards from whenever we start to kind of circle around a presumed date or have a, not a date certain, but we have a horizon of where it's coming, then working backwards saying, okay, great, we've got these, here's these new plugins or here's these new tools that come with our services that you can start to use now to help you ramp up for performances so that you can make sure you're getting people in the door.
Definitely. And what do you kind of think is next for AI in the industry in general? And obviously like in terms for you guys and AI technology, do you think the next 10 years will be just as exciting, or do you think coronavirus will have affected that in any way?
My instinct at the moment, it's hard to say for sure, right? Or with certainty, but the moment I would say that the efforts that were in place technology-wise, like moving from voice, moving to contactless operations in any way, shape, or form, all those will just be accelerated and they'll move faster. So I think the pace of change that was coming before all this felt really hard to manage. And I think that that's going to, especially on the other side, be further accelerated. And you'll likely see a bunch of consolidation within the tech space, certainly within the ticketing space. I think you'll see some consolidation among some major players. And typically when that happens, you'll get some burst of quick innovation that then they sit their platform on for a while. For us, we're moving towards a world where it will be, right now the ticketing flow, as we would describe, is slotted, meaning that we're guiding you through the conversation to make sure that you get the outcome that you want. But we're in the midst of, and then when Broadway reopens, we'll have a completely freeform conversational flow set up so that the fan will truly be able to say, well, I want two tickets for this weekend in the front mezzanine, and we'll just be able to immediately serve them up. And I think that's the laziness, maybe one way to put it, but that's going to be the expectation of the consumer. Like the harder I have to work to engage with you or to purchase what you're offering to me, the less likely I am going to purchase it, right? Make it easy, make it intuitive. Know enough about me so that it can provide me what I'm looking for without me having to ask, without it being creepy, that uncanny valley where it's like, how did you know I was just looking at bird feeders yesterday? You know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot to come.
Perfect. And if you could go back and do your journey again, would you do anything differently?
Sure. There are so many, I could rattle off a half dozen mistakes that I wish I could have avoided in some way, shape, or form. But frankly, each of those mistakes have informed and helped me arrive to where I am now. So I don't have that major mistake or miscalculation in my past where I'm like, boy, that was the absolute wrong choice. It's like, no, that I've made plenty of mistakes, but they've all helped me arrive to where I'm at now. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Definitely. So finally, to kind of wrap this conversation up, do you have any advice for any other startups or founders out there?
For myself, I always find I'm more successful if I can keep my eye to the medium or to the long term of the outcome I'm trying to achieve, rather than the day to day, because the ups and downs of the day to day will make you absolutely crazy. But if you can focus just a little bit on the horizon, or hopefully a little bit sooner than that, right, in terms of your time window, I find you're more successful and you're more even keeled. You're avoiding those highs and those lows. Just stay at the pace.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Micah. It was amazing to chat to you and learn about what's kind of going on your side of the world and Broadway and stuff. And hopefully it won't last too long. But yeah, it's been great chatting to you. Yes.
God willing. Thank you very much. And please be safe.
Serial Entrepreneur.